Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Boy, wow. This week went by fast.
It did. It always seems like it's 10 minutes later.
I know. 2 minutes, really.
Yeah. And we had a nice lesson last time about the woman at the well.
Excellent lesson.
We don't know her name, but we feel like we know her pretty well.
Yeah, you do.
We were talking last week before the show that, you know, when we meet her in heaven and she says, well, I was at the woman at the well, we'll say, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh,
then I'm going to say, prove it. I don't believe you.
Oh,
and then
no,
she'll say,
not.
People in heaven don't lie.
Oh, boy.
Anyway,
you're going to get into trouble.
I know. Even she's mad at me now. Anyway, today we're going to do a little different lesson. This comes from John chapter 9, starting at the beginning, starting in verse 1. So you can flip to it while Stephen gets ready to read it. This is commonly referred to as the man born blind.
Yes. I love this story.
I know.
This is one of my favorites.
It is one of his favorites. I think Romans is my favorite book, but it might be Hebrews.
I don't think you've ever mentioned that before.
Yeah. Anyway, but John's Gospel is definitely my favorite book. It's pretty cool. So anyway.
John's Gospel?
John's Gospel. I like John's.
Do you think you like it more than Romans? Or?
I think it's my favorite book. No. I don't know.
We could do a show just on that.
Just what's my favorite book?
Oh man. Okay, let's get serious.
Yeah. Now, this is a big stretch of passage.
Yes, it
actually
is.
Covers like 40 or 41 verses.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, so maybe, Steve, you should start reading. You want to read the whole thing or you want to?
Yeah, let's read. I'll
Yeah, go ahead.
See,
read it first.
Stop somewhere here.
It's always good to get the word into you and you into the word.
Mm-hmm. And get the whole passage so that things aren't taken out of context.
Yeah.
So this is from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, isn't this the one who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is. But others said, no, he just looks like him. He said, I am. So they said to him, how are your eyes open? The man replied, the man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went there and washed and was able to see. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see. So some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinful man do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, what do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, and the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who was born blind, who had been blind, and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and I now see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, is that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you were trying to teach us?" And then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains."
Hmm.
Wow. Lot there. Wow.
Yeah. So, if you look at the very end of chapter 8, just before this, you see where Jesus has this thing about "before Abraham was, I am," and they got mad.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
They were already mad. So, now, as he's walking away from that, he compassionately sees that this is a guy who's in need. You know, even though he had just been mistreated by the authorities, he sees a blind man who needs healing, who needs compassion. You know, and we see, you know, our duty as Christians is, no matter how we're treated, we still have to do the Christian thing, no matter how we're treated. So, you know, he sees this blind man, and, you know, he does this unusual thing, spits on the ground, puts it on his eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool, and then he can see. And it's a little unusual, you know, and he could have spoken and had him restored his sight. He could have put his hand on his head.
Right.
Could have put his fingers over his eyes and it could have been restored. Yeah. So we don't know exactly why he did it that way, but you know, it's interesting that this can also be a metaphor that the gospel is going to also go to the Gentiles who are living in darkness, and Jesus comes and does something and they come to faith, especially because his authorities had rejected him.
Yeah.
But you know, the people want, they see this blind man and they say, "Well, you know, what about this blind guy here? Did he commit some terrible sin which caused him to be blind? Or did his parents commit some terrible sin that caused him to be blind?"
Right.
And he says, "Well, you know what? This guy's blind so that God's glory can be revealed."
Yeah.
The whole purpose of this guy being born, being blind from birth, being along that road at that moment was just to encounter the Messiah at that moment, and for the Messiah to heal him. And for the Messiah to say, "Today's the Sabbath, I'm here, you're blind, I'm the light of the world, so I'm going to cure you."
He's the Lord of the Sabbath.
Lord of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And he gives the guy sight, but also gives him light. He says, "I'm the light of the world." Mm-hmm. And a common guy who's a beggar, who's a poor guy. I mean, we see about his parents. You know, his parents are scared of the Pharisees. I mean, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
The Pharisees call you. You're like a poor couple who has this blind child that you've raised. The Pharisees want to see you. Come with us. Yeah. You'd be scared.
Yeah.
I mean, this is scary.
And, you know, his disciples even ask him. The one, you know,
yeah.
Jesus' disciples ask Jesus, well, who sinned, this man or his parents?
Yeah.
So it was common belief that if somebody was born blind,
yeah,
well, either his parents did something really wrong, or this guy did something, you know, this child did something wrong before he was even born, that he was born blind, that God was punishing him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so they're asking him the same question. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you're a common person and the Pharisees call you in,
yeah,
we want to talk to you about your son that can see now.
It's pretty scary.
Hey. He's of age.
Yeah,
just ask him.
Yeah.
Just don't get us involved.
Yeah. They don't want to get excommunicated.
No, they don't want to, you know, because if they would have said that Jesus is the Christ, they would have thrown them out of the synagogue.
Yep.
They would have been cut off. They wouldn't just been able to go to church anymore.
No.
I think we need to understand that.
Yeah.
They would have been cut off from the whole community.
The whole community. Yep.
That's how severe this was.
Yes.
You know, today, we think, I'll just go to another church.
Yes, I just won't go.
I worship wherever I'm at. But in Jesus' day, the temple was the center of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, noon, and evening, they prayed.
Mm-hmm.
So to be outcast from that community was humiliation.
Yes.
And isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about that. You're outcast from the community that you, or from the people that you encounter every day, not only your family, but the people you work with and your friends, and all of a sudden you're cut off from all these people.
Yeah.
And nobody talks to you.
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
So they were really afraid. Uh-oh. What's going on? How is our son able to see?
Mm-hmm.
Just don't say anything.
Yeah. And the fact that Jesus says, you know, he's not blind for any of those reasons. He's blind just because now I'm going to heal him is basically what he's saying.
Exactly.
So that in 2014, people will still be reading about this.
Phil and Steve will be talking on the radio show.
Yeah, there'll be a radio show about this. because the whole point of this guy's life was this moment when he's going to encounter the mm-hmm. Messiah. And he's going to receive first physical healing.
Yes.
Then later, he's going to receive spiritual healing. He's mm-hmm. basically going to be healed of a disease, and then he's going to be healed of a spiritual disease. And in modern terms, we're going to say Jesus is going to save him
mm-hmm.
at the end, because he's going to turn to him and say, I believe.
Yes.
And he, you know, it says he worshiped him.
Right.
So that's going to come a little bit later. But, you know, when he encounters this guy, he's compassionate to him because he's a blind human being who's been suffering all his life. We don't know how old he is, but, I mean, he wasn't, you know, 10. He was an adult.
Right. He was of age.
So the parents were probably older. But, you know, he encounters this guy who has a need and not only fixes his need, but then impacts everybody around him, including the Pharisees. But that's not in great a way. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's interesting. I was thinking about this business with the dirt, because the guy says he put clay on me.
Right.
And then I could see. And, you know, man was made out of clay.
Yeah.
And now Jesus uses the clay in the ground to heal this guy's eyes.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, you know, he has him go and wash, too. And think of
exactly.
You know, if you're, you know, if you've been out, and especially in the desert,
mm-hmm.
it could be windy, it could be dusty. And that's why they have all these wrappings and clothes on, so that mm-hmm. they don't get all this sand and dirt on their body.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it would be very uncomfortable.
And you got to protect your eyes, too.
You got to protect your eyes. But it would be very uncomfortable to be in that heat with dirt and grime on your body. And, you know, it would just be a mess. So anyway, you would need to wash. And Jesus has this man go and wash. And he wants, you know, Jesus wants to wash us.
Exactly.
Of our sins.
Exactly.
So that we can be made whole and that we can see him in the light of truth.
Yes, exactly.
Who he is.
Exactly. So, you know, he basically puts mud on the guy's eyes. Now, this guy's blind anyway. Now,
hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, imagine. he wouldn't have even known what this guy was doing.
Right.
All of a sudden, you know, he's getting mud put on his eyes.
Right.
You know, if you could see and somebody put mud on your eyes, it would be very uncomfortable.
Right.
You'd say, like, man, why'd you put that stuff on my eyes? Now, right, I can't see.
You would most likely back away from him and go, what, why, right, are you going to do that?
I got dirt. Now you got dirt in your eyes. It's sticky. Can't get it off. He was blind anyway, but somebody who could see would all of a sudden sort of be made blind.
Mm-hmm.
At least you wouldn't be able to see well. And he tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is down below the Temple Mountain. It's in the old David city. And the water that went into that pool came from Mount Zion. So it was considered sanctuary water. It was living water, like we talked about last week with the woman at the well.
Yeah.
When Jesus talked about living water. So he goes, you go to that pool, which is also in the city of David. It's associated with King David. Jesus as Messiah is the son of David. So Jesus is connecting himself to David, and he's telling this guy, go to David's pool of water and wash yourself. Jesus says he's the fountain of life. Living water comes out of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the son of David. He says, go to David's pool and wash yourself. And it says the name means sent, which is kind of interesting. You know, Jesus is the sent one. You know, he's the one that God prophesies to David in 2 Samuel that says, well, David, I know you want to build me a house, but you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. And your house is never going to come down. Your throne's always going to exist. And someone who comes from your loins is going to sit on the throne forever. And here he was, connecting himself to David. Says, you go wash in David's pool and come back. And so everyone was amazed.
Yeah.
Because now this guy could see. They knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
They said, isn't this guy who's begging there all the time?
Yeah.
You know, kind of like when John and Peter healed the guy at the gate beautiful. And they said, isn't this the guy who's always out there begging?
Didn't we just pass this guy
at
the gate?
And I gave him a nickel and,
and they go, and they're asking, well, no, I think it's just somebody that looks like
him. Looks like him. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is it him? Yeah. Could it be him? Could it be the same? Because we have to understand that nobody was healed of blindness.
That's right.
Until this moment.
And blindness doesn't usually spontaneously go away.
No.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
Oh.
Oh, here we go. This is my favorite. Ooh. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Of you, mighty is his name, rejoicing all. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Oh, well, we will talk for a while now. We've been dancing around the studio. And
out of breath.
Yeah, I'll do a little work here. I've got to go back to the desk now. Yeah. Wait, I got to get this banner out of the way.
See you guys later. Get back to work.
Yeah, you put this banner back in the corner.
A trail of people exiting the studio.
Whew. Anyway, that's pretty awesome. So the Pool of Siloam. So Jesus is the sent one. So everybody is amazed.
Yeah.
Is this really the guy? Is it somebody who looks like him? But he answers, I'm the guy. I'm the guy. Because now he's got a healing testimony. You know, we don't know about spiritually yet because he doesn't really know. You know, when the Pharisees confront him, you realize that he doesn't really know exactly what happened.
Right.
All he knows is now he's been healed.
Right.
And he can see now. He never saw before. His whole life, he was born blind.
Right.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's everybody wants to know what happens. So then he tells them the details. So this is his testimony, but it's a testimony in the sense of, well, this guy put mud on my eyes. I washed it off and then I could see.
Yeah. Go figure.
Ah.
So they, you know, right. They're bringing him into the Pharisees, and he tells them this. They're asking him, how are your eyes open?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and he told me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went there, washed, just as he told me to do, and I was able to see. And they ask him, well, where is he? He said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Where'd he go? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because now they want to question, they probably want to question Jesus.
That's right.
Because this was a Sabbath.
Yes. And they want to see him.
Yeah.
But not in a positive way.
No.
They want to say, like, this guy's violated the Sabbath.
You worked on the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is a day of rest.
Yes. Yes.
They consider this work.
Yes.
So, you know, as I read, they brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees, and now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see, and he told them. So there, you know, the Pharisees are in this little quandary because here is this guy that can now see,
mm-hmm.
and mostly everybody there is realizing he can see.
That's him. And they can't deny the miracle.
Right. This morning he was blind. Now he can see.
Yeah.
And so the Pharisees are caught in, where's this Jesus at?
Mm-hmm.
Because this was done on a Sabbath and he can't be from God.
Yeah. Because we want to ask him some questions too.
Yep. We want to ask him questions. And so they want to interrogate him, really.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, let's see. And there were divisions among them.
Mm-hmm.
How can a sinful man do such things?
Mm-hmm.
So they said to the blind man again, what do you have to say about him?
Mm-hmm.
Since he opened your eyes, he's a prophet.
Yeah, that's the best the guy can muster up. I mean, he doesn't know anything.
Yeah. He doesn't know anything. Right. All he knows is now he can see.
He can see.
I mean, think about that.
For the first time in his whole life.
In his whole life.
I mean, even if the guy's 20 years old, all of a sudden now he can see.
Yeah. So, you know, we can close our eyes and imagine what it might be like to be blind for a short period of time.
Mm.
But to really be blind, but if you opened your eyes and then you couldn't see, then you would really know what it is to be blind.
Mm.
So we really can't. I think for anybody who sees really cannot understand fully what this person was experiencing and what anybody who's blind and now sees or who has lost their sight and regains it again, what an experience that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen someone who, you know, their sight was restored because the gentleman was in a deli or a diner.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a robbery, and he was shot, and one of the bullets severed his optic nerve.
Ugh.
And he was blind for about 14 years. But then during this healing service, he forgave the man who shot him.
Wow.
And the Lord restored his sight right
there.
And he's running around saying, I can see, I can see, I can see. And everybody's like, what's going on?
Were you there when it happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And this guy's running around going, I can see. And everybody's like, so later on, he was giving witness as to what happened.
Wow.
So you kind of need your optic nerve. It's a very important part of the eye.
Yeah.
So God can do these things.
Yeah.
And so for this man, he was able to see, but for 14 years he lost his sight.
Wow.
And now he can see again.
Yeah.
And the jubilation and the joy that was there was just, like uncontrollable.
And these guys should have been joyful because this profound miracle had happened, but yet they want to do more condemnation.
Right.
How did he do this? Where is he?
Let's talk to him.
So instead of saying, wow, this is so awesome that the guy can see now after all these years, they want to do more condemnation. Boy, that's a great story.
Yeah. So they're both great stories.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is the pool means sent.
Yeah, exactly.
And now this man is sent to proclaim the glorious works of God.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he goes to that pool, which means sent.
Yeah.
You were healed. Mm-hmm. Now you're sent to testify to what God has done for you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the first place he was sent to was the Pharisees.
Yeah. Well, he was testifying, but they weren't.
Because now when he tells them the story, what's their answer? Well, this man can't be from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to be healing people on the Sabbath. That's ridiculous. He's not supposed to make mud on the Sabbath. He can't be from God. The Sabbath, of course, was very, very, very important. And when you read through the Torah, in the book of Exodus, you see over and over again, whatever you do, you got to keep the Sabbath. Whatever you do, you got to keep the Sabbath. It's not to minimize the importance of the Sabbath. But then Jesus later points out that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And he points out that he, Jesus, is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he points out to those guys that works of mercy you can do on the Sabbath. If you guys have a cow falls into a ditch, you're not going to let it sit there until Sunday morning, until Saturday night. You're going to get it out.
Right.
Because works of mercy are allowed. But they had added so many traditions to the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. How many steps you were allowed to walk.
Right.
You couldn't turn the lights on. Oh, no, I didn't have lights on. They had added all kind of traditions to this so that people were boxed in. If you could only take 10,000 steps, you had to make sure you didn't take 10,001 steps or else you were violating the Sabbath.
So counting steps was not work.
That's right.
But taking
this
steps.
This is why places, it says in the Bible, places were a Sabbath day's journey because that's the number of steps you were allowed to walk. So they were more focused in on what they had done to the Sabbath. And because of this, and because they couldn't stand what Jesus was doing, they couldn't be happy for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even rejoice because they had this bitterness. This is a guy who's not respecting us. This is a guy who's not keeping our tradition, let alone the Mosaic law about the Sabbath. So they tried to discredit the whole thing. So what they first do is, okay, we want proof, this guy. We want proof this guy was blind.
Mm-hmm.
So go get his parents. That's going to be it. So, the parents come. Yep, that's him. I don't know how he was healed. All we can tell you is that's our son, and we know he was born blind. Now he can see, but hey, I don't know how it happened. You're going to have to ask him.
He's of age.
I don't want you guys to excommunicate us out into the wilderness. Or, put us in some dungeon somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So all we can tell you is he's blind. Now he sees. And like we said, these guys were pretty scary. If you'd have been a poor working class guy and you'd encountered these guys, it would have been scary. Remember, as we always say, they were the holy guys with all the cool stuff on. And if you went there after working somewhere all day, these guys were very intimidating. They didn't want to be thrown out of the synagogue. And, they say, well, Jesus can't be a holy guy. He certainly can't be the Messiah. And, this guy, says, well, he must be a prophet. But he says, no, he can't be any of those things because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. He didn't fit their mold. He was from Galilee. He was poor. And now, on top of all that, he wasn't keeping the Sabbath. So then they asked the guy again, okay, let's go over this again. How did this guy do this?
This is the best part of the story.
This is the best part. Go ahead. You like this part.
So a second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, if he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. So the Pharisees said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And the man that was born blind answered them and says, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Do you want to become his disciples too?
Now, you notice how bold he's gotten.
Yeah.
He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the leaders.
Do you want to become his disciples too? And this infuriates them.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's almost as... along the lines of calling him a brood of vipers.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Because now they taunt him because he's saying he's a disciple of Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you want to be his disciples too also?
Yeah.
So that means he is one.
Right.
So they make fun of him and they say, hey, we're Moses' disciples.
Mm-hmm.
We know Moses.
Yeah.
You know, not only, you know, like they always said to John the Baptist and to Jesus, we have Abraham as our father.
Yeah.
So now they bring Moses into
Moses
it too.
Yeah.
Now this is just a little while after this conversation where Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, because they were talking about, hey, we are children of Abraham. Mm-hmm. We don't know what you're up to, but we can tell you this. We're children of Abraham. He goes, well, before Abraham was, I am. That got him mad.
Yeah.
Now they bring Moses into it. Hey, we know Moses. We know everything about the law. We're the set apart ones who, mm-hmm. we do the law stuff. I mean, if you've got to put the pen 5 centimeters away from the edge of the desk, we put it 5 centimeters away from the edge of the desk.
Exactly.
Not 4.5, not 5.5. Whatever the law is, we do it. Whatever the tradition is, we do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're the law guys. And, you know, we tell you, we follow the law because Moses is our father. We don't need any other teachers.
Yeah.
We don't need anybody, you know, telling us what to do. We're the ones who know what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, later in the book of Romans, which happens to be my favorite book, Paul says to them, you know, Paul says that just because you're blood related to Abraham doesn't mean you're true Israel.
Yes.
You know, this is why we have Abraham as our spiritual father, because through Messiah, as believers, we become spiritual children of Abraham. So they couldn't understand this business with Moses prefiguring the Messiah. They couldn't figure this out, that Jesus, who was there, was fulfilling everything that Moses had done. They put Moses and Jesus in opposition to each other. You know, kind of like when we did the series about fulfilling the law rather than abolishing it, putting the long 2,000 year debate between law and grace, which is still going on,
mm-hmm.
in various forms. They put Jesus and Moses in opposition to each other. They can't possibly follow from the same plan, from the same tradition.
Right.
You know, they say, we know God spoke to Moses. We don't know about this guy, but we know God spoke to Moses. In fact, they should have known that Moses predicted in the book of Deuteronomy that another prophet would come, that everyone would follow, that would mm-hmm. speak the truth. Another prophet with a capital P was going to come. They should have known that. But now they scornfully refer to Jesus as this fellow, this guy, depending what your translation was, this man. You know, it's a scornful reference. We follow Moses. We don't know who this man is, but obviously he can't be from God. He didn't even come here and study at our Bible school. He didn't even come here and study in our yeshiva. He never even came here to apply for a license to teach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who do you think he is? We're the ones who are in charge here. We tell people. We have the teaching authority. We have the authority to tell people what they can do and where they do it. This
right.
guy just starts teaching out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And, you know, to be a disciple, you know, we think of the word disciple as being a disciple or a follower of Christ. but it's one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrine of another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this man's asking the Pharisees, do you want to accept his doctrine now? Do you want to start spreading his message?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that too? Because I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always enjoy this response by him because it's so bold.
It's awesome.
And it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Why do you want to hear this again?
Yeah.
You want to be his disciples too?
You want to hear my testimony again?
And they ridicule him because he is saying, I'm his disciple.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe in him.
Yeah. And these guys knew that the time of the Messiah was near. You know, we talked about this many times on this show. They knew, everyone kind of had this sense that the time of Messiah was near. Even the poor, common, uneducated people knew. So they could have taken this opportunity to investigate this. Like, okay, like, who is this guy? You know, maybe he could be the Christ. Where is he from? What was he teaching? Whoa, you know, he's from Galilee. Well, actually, he was from Galilee, but he wasn't born in Galilee. You know, no prophet's ever come from Galilee. Well, actually, he was born in Bethlehem. You know, they could have investigated this.
Yeah.
They could have found a lot of interesting information.
Mm-hmm.
They could have found out he was actually descended from David through his mother and his foster father.
Right.
I mean, they could have found a lot of cool stuff. They didn't even ask, like, where's he from? Where was he born? What's he doing here? They could have investigated him. And they say, okay, you know, where is he? The guy says, well, you know, I don't know where he is, but all I can tell you is, he healed me, and now I'm getting to be his disciple. And the more I talk to you guys, the less I want to be like you guys, and the more I want to be like him.
and then the man who is born blind, who can now see, tells them, this is what's so amazing, that you don't know where he's from. You healed in my
eyes.
Yeah,
that's right. You guys are supposed to know everything.
You guys are supposed to know everything. You don't know nothing.
Yeah. And then, you know, he says, he must be from God. God must hear him, or how could he do this?
Right, because God doesn't listen to a sinner.
How could some horrible demonic sinner make somebody see?
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they could turn a staff into a snake like Pharaoh's magician did, but they wouldn't be able to cure a blind guy. You know, he couldn't do it without God's power.
Right.
So now he sees this is a man who's from God.
Right.
First he says he's a prophet, then he says this guy has to be from God because he couldn't have done this without the power of the Spirit.
And then you see the pride.
Yes.
The pride of the Pharisees really comes out.
Then it really comes out.
You were born totally in sin, and you're trying to teach us?
Yeah, exactly.
Get out. And they throw him out.
They, you know, in our term, it would be he was excommunicated.
Yes.
It would be like, you know, if you're someplace where you're talking back to a group of bishops or elders or whatever you have, and they say, okay, you're out of our church.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what happened.
You're not telling us what to do.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. And they say, now remember, they're the set apart ones. They follow the law.
Right.
They say, you were born in sin. It was as if they weren't.
Yeah.
You know, you've been going through your life being a sinner. You know, you're blind, but you're a sinner. You're not doing the stuff we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're the set apart ones.
They're boasting.
Yeah. Ooh. We boast. We do law.
Mm-hmm.
And because we follow the law, we're allowed to boast, and you don't do any of that. You're from the dregs of society.
Right.
You're blind, you're poor, you're uneducated. And like you hit the nail on the head, this is pride.
Mm-hmm.
So how can somebody like you tell us anything?
Right.
How can you teach us anything?
Right.
How can you tell us anything?
Right.
We're the holy guys that are the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And even Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, Jesus said, you're a teacher in Israel and you don't understand these things?
Yeah. Oh.
This is awesome.
Is Paul back again?
The break always comes when I'm on a roll. Anyway. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. You'll find a lot of stuff there. We'll be right back.
Who is like him, lion and the lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai.
end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Who is like him, lion and the lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's what that guy was doing after he was healed from blindness, just what? Praising Adonai.
Oh, amen.
Oh,
woof. So this poor guy, you know, after he has this awesome experience where he gets healed, then he starts to be pretty defiant in front of the Pharisees.
Oh,
then
yeah.
He says, you know, you want to be his disciples too. Then he says, oh, you guys don't even know where he came from. That's a good one.
he starts teaching them.
he starts teaching them. You know, he's getting this increasing boldness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's boldness, you know, it's holy boldness. He wants to teach them something. Well, they can't handle that. So they throw him out. So now, the interesting thing now is Jesus finds him.
Yes.
Is that interesting? Jesus found him.
Again.
He must have been looking for him. He probably knew that the Pharisees were going to throw him out. So he was looking for him and he found him. And, you know, he's the guy had stood for the cause. He had suffered in front of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's kind of rewarded for this. He stood up against them. He told the testimony more than once. And now here, interestingly, you know, through the New Testament, Jesus refers to himself as Son of God, a Son of Man, many more times than he refers to himself as a Son of God.
Right.
But what does he refer to himself there when he says, talking to the man?
Let's see. When the man asks him, Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man?
Yeah.
And he answers him and says, who is he so that I might believe?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Calls himself the Son of Man. You know, he's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. But he really liked the title Son of Man. He always identified with our humanity that way. And so, you know, he says, and sometimes, you know, he's also referred to as the Son of David.
Right.
He says, do you believe? because we have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't say, hey, do you think I'm a nice guy? Do you think I'm pretty good because I did this miracle?
Yeah.
Hey, do you think I'm like, you know, living a nice moral life compared to those guys you just encountered? No, he says, you have to believe. You must believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you believe in the Son of Man? So that's pretty cool. Now the man's ready to believe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he wants to know who he is. So he says, okay, so who is it? And he says, it's me.
Yeah.
So Jesus directs the guy in a way where he says, you must believe. Do you believe? He says, well, who am I supposed to believe? He says, me.
Right.
He says, yes.
Yes.
You know, he directs him. You know, he directs mm-hmm. us. The plan is always Trinitarian. You know, Paul later is going to write, no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Spirit.
Right.
Jesus says to Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father revealed this to you.
Right.
Now this guy says, I'm the Son of Man. The guy says, okay, I believe.
Right.
And he falls and worships him. I think this is awesome.
You know, and like this week we're talking about the man born blind. Last week we were talking about the woman at the well.
Yeah.
Jesus did the same exact thing.
Exactly.
The woman asked the same question. Who is he?
Yeah.
That I may believe.
Yeah, exactly.
And this man is asking the same thing. Who is he that I might believe in him?
Yeah.
And the same question needs to be Jesus. You know, Jesus is asking us the same thing.
Exactly.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of getting the sense right now that if you're listening and you don't believe in the Son of Man, the Lord's really asking you, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the one who sent him? Do you believe that he is the Messiah?
Yeah.
Do you believe that he is the one who's offering you salvation because he paid your sin debt on the cross and he rose again from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to give a response. And if you're asking and saying, who is he that I might believe?
Well,
it's Jesus.
Amen.
He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And he is the only way to heaven.
Yes.
He is the mediator between God and you.
This is the plan of God into salvation. Yeah. And this is the most important question you ever are going to answer in your life.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be way more important than any other question you're ever going to answer. And, you know, he may reveal himself to you. He may reveal himself to you through someone. He may reveal himself to you even through what Steve just said or what your neighbor just said or what somebody this morning told you when you were, you know, walking by the church or some crazy guy with a Bible came into the Denny's you were at and just said something to you.
Right.
You know, he can reveal himself in different ways.
Right.
But when you see the truth, this man who we're talking about, first he physically sees. Jesus then reveals himself just like he did to the woman at the well and says, you have to believe. So then the man gives a statement of faith. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says he worshiped him.
Yeah.
So now instead of saying, well, this is a man who cured me. I don't know what Son of Man means, but this is a man who cured me. You know, you don't fall down and worship a man.
Right.
A Jewish man would have never in 1 million years fallen down in front of a man and worshiped him.
Right.
So all of a sudden now this guy's heart is convicted that this is more than just a man.
And
this is a man standing there, but this is also the Son of God. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. And he worships him. And it's true, humble adoration.
And he says, I do believe, Lord.
Lord. Exactly. Calls him Adonai.
Yeah.
You would have never said that to a man.
Right. Jesus says, you have seen him. The one speaking with you is he. And he says, I do believe, Lord.
Yes.
And he worships him.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, and his eyes are open.
Yeah.
And God wants to open our eyes. God wants to open your eyes.
Yeah.
That you can see his plan of salvation for you.
Yeah.
That Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
And that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. And he has come to set you free.
Yeah.
So he came to set this man free.
Yeah.
For God's glory.
And this guy has Jesus physically reveal himself to him. Yeah, we may not have that.
Yeah.
You know, we have it through some other way, but the point of it is the same because it is the only way to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think you're going to go to heaven by being good If you think you're going to go to heaven by being nice, if you think you're going to go to heaven by going to church every single Sunday and never missing one, you're going to be sadly mistaken,
mm-hmm.
because it's only through him that you can go.
Right.
And I refer you again, since we're in the season of Lent, to watch The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
And if you think you can go to heaven by any of those other ways, watch what happened to Jesus during that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there are other ways to go to heaven, then Jesus was a fool right. or was mentally ill to go through that horrible torture. If there was some other way, it could be done.
Right.
There is no other way it can be done.
Right. You do all these things that are done, worshiping God, doing works of mercy, are done because of
yes.
your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If they're done apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, they're empty.
That's right. And the world is deceiving you by saying, oh, well, there's all different ways. Who are you to say? What does that mean?
Yeah.
The arguments are all the same. These people encountered him. Adam and Eve encountered it. But this is the only way to salvation.
Amen.
And this man got it directly. Mm-hmm. And then interestingly later, you know, Paul's going to see the Gentiles saw the light.
Yeah.
The Jews remained blinded,
mm-hmm.
which is also very profound.
Right.
Woo! Can't believe the show's right. over. I'm on a roll again. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we once again pray that the light of Christ would open your eyes, would open your heart and your mind, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.